Well, welcome to this fifth lesson on the name, specifically the name Yeshua and why we as a church prefer to use that name. Before we get going, let's just read two scriptures we have read before. The one is Proverbs 30, verse 4. Who has ascended into heaven or descended? Right? Proverbs 30, verse 4. Who has ascended into heaven or descended? Who has gathered the wind in his fists? Who has bound the waters in a garment? Who has established all the ends of the earth? What is his name and what is his son's name, if you know? See that? What is his name and what is his son's name, if you know? It's a big question. Let's go to Philippians. We're going to read chapter 2 from verse 9. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen. Let's just pray. Lord, we just thank you for your precious word. Help us to rightly divide it and help us, Holy Spirit. Help us to collect our thoughts, to allow you to educate us and bring us to understanding. We recognize you as the teacher, and we rely on you to bring divine inspiration to us as we do the best we can to understand your word. We ask this in the wonderful name of Yeshua. Amen. Now, we've been discussing the name, specifically his name. And like we've been saying, the choice is whether we should use the name Jesus or the name Yeshua. Now, let me just once again reiterate, we're not dogmatic about our preference for the name Yeshua. But we need to explain that we have good reasons why that is the case. We're not dogmatic. We use the name Jesus when we have to, especially when it's necessary to reach people who might not have this information and for whom the name Yeshua is a bit strange. But we're hoping that as we talk more and more about these things, the name won't be that strange. We'll become familiar with it and we'll understand the advantages, as we understand them, of using it. Now, last week we were speaking about the name Jesus and how that name evolved. I need to offer a slight correction. I was under the impression that the name Jesus appeared first and foremost in the Geneva Bible, and I spoke about that. The truth is that the Geneva Bible used the same name that the King James Version in 1611 uses, and that is Iesus. Iesus. It had moved from Isus to Iesus, I believe, primarily because of the influence of Latin. Remember, the Bible as such was translated from the Greek into Latin, and that is the document we know as the Vulgate by Saint Jerome. And that influence and the use of Iesus as opposed to Isus filtered into the English language in the writings and the Bibles of the day. However, what we need to know is that the letter J had not yet come into its own in the English language. Around about 1524, an individual in Italy, a grammarian by the name of Gian Giovanni Terissimo, explained that there should be a distinction between I and J. You see, Latin does not distinguish between I and J. In fact, Latin does not have a J letter in the alphabet. It is used in the numbers as a punctuation mark, all right? J is used in Latin more as a punctuation mark. But you see, slowly but surely, this distinction between I and J filtered into the English language, all right? 1635, There's an article written about this distinction. It's explained. And obviously, the distinction was filtering into English. So you see, Iesus, with the I changes to J, becomes Jesus. In 1611, the King James, original King James, translated the name Iesus, transliterated rather, the name Iesus. By 1635, the name had changed to Jesus, the Jesus we know. That's 1769 with the revised version of the King James Bible. So you see, the name Jesus, although part and parcel of the English Christian Church, is only about 250 plus minus years old. Anyway, the point is we sit today with the name Jesus, and that name, as you can see, was the result of a fairly tortuous passage over the centuries, a whole series of transliterations over the centuries. And you see, we sit today with that name commonly used. However, you need to find out whether that is the right name. Because remember, he was given a name, as we read, far above any other name, that at that name every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess. But you see, the point is it correct to use the name Jesus? Now, we've tried to build up this case. And there are a number of principles that we see in the Bible regarding names. We've made the point, labored the point, that names are very important. The names of the prophets, important. The name of the patriarchs was important. The name of some of the disciples was important, to the extent that those names on occasion had to be changed. Now the big question is, why should we then, if this is the normal name, Jesus, why should we use the name Yeshua? Well, if we look at the name Yahshua, Y-A-H-S-H-U-A, there are a number of principles which I'm sure by now have become obvious. The first point being that Yeshua is a direct, not only transliteration of the original Hebrew name, but it is also a translation. Can you see that? Not only is it a literal transliteration, but it is also a translation. Remember, a transliteration attempts to take the letters of one alphabet and to transfer them into the letters of another. From Hebrew to Greek posed difficulties with the sh sounds, etc. And the original translators of Hebrew into Greek took the name Joshua and translated it Isus. That's the best they could do under the circumstances. Come the New Testament, come the advent of the Joshua, you see, that name Isus was retained. There are translations of the Bible which, when it comes to the name Joshua, instead of putting Joshua, they put Jesus, because they transliterate directly from the original Greek, which was Isus. So can you see? There's confusion. Now, the point is that the name Yeshua is a transliteration directly from the Hebrew into English. All right? It cuts out the need for the influence of the Greek, the influence of the Latin, etc., and the change of English. It takes literally, as best possible, transliterating Yeshua into Yeshua. Amen. Now you see, not only is it a transliteration, but it's also a translation. Because as we pointed out, the word Yah is the name of God. Yah is the name of God. And Yeshua literally means God is our salvation. That's what Joshua's name meant in the Old Hebrew, and that is what Isaiah's name meant in the Old Hebrew. So you see, when we use the name Yahshua, what are we saying? We are using a name which means God is our salvation. Amen. When we use the name Jesus, what does it mean? The truth is absolutely nothing. Now, while that sinks in, let's look at the various understandings about name, the themes that run through the Bible in connection with names. The first thing is that names were very important. And not only that, the name was given deliberately and the name had meaning. As far as the great prophets and the great men of God were concerned, the name that they were given was closely associated with the purpose of their ministry, the main thrust of their ministry. You see? Now, if we look at the Messiah, Christ, what was the main thrust of his ministry? Can anybody doubt that the main thrust of his ministry was to bring salvation to the earth? The greatest prophet of them all came to bring salvation, but not just salvation in his own strength, salvation that comes from Almighty God his Father. Remember the other principle. Very often names carry down generational lines. There was a connection between the name of the Father, the name of the Son, the name of the children. There was often a connection. Well, here we have the name of the Father in the name of the Son. By his name, Yahshua. God is our salvation. And you see, if we begin to understand that names are words and words affect our faith, and this is so important to grasp, we begin to realize that God is our salvation. When we speak that name, it's more likely to develop our faith, you see. And because we believe that what is not of faith is sin, and we are obliged to do whatever we can to develop our faith, that you see, when we use the name Yahshua, in any situation, we are saying and we're understanding that God is the one who brings salvation. It's faith building. In the same way as Abraham, father of many nations, when he used that name was spoken around him, his faith in the fact that he would have children and birth generations was boosted, encouraged, to the extent that after 99 years, within 1 year, he and Sarah, whose name had been changed from Sarai to Sarah, mother of nations, produced Isaac, the child of promise. You see, the name Yeshua is very powerful for us operating in this dispensation. Now you might say, oh, well, the old prophets, their name helped them with their particular call and ministry. The Lord Yeshua is not in the earth anymore. So the name's not important. That doesn't really solve the problem, because obviously you and I in this dispensation are part of the body of Christ. And the head of this body of Christ is who? The Lord Yeshua. And this body of Christ on earth is fulfilling the function that the prophets foretold of bringing salvation to the earth. That is our ministry, is it not? God is our salvation. You see, the head, our head, our general, as it were, his name proclaims our ministry. We are part of the body of Yeshua. God is salvation. So you see, for that reason alone, the name Yeshua is very important. But a lot of people will say, oh, well, Jesus, the name has worked for us. We are born again with the name Jesus, maybe delivered from demons by the name Jesus, cast out demons in the name of Jesus, seen people being healed mightily in the name of Jesus. So why change now? I'd like to just give some sort of understanding in this regard. And you see, this understanding needs to grasp the fact that the name Jesus or the name Yeshua is not a magical, as it were, incantation. You see, it's not just the name, as we mentioned earlier, it's faith in the name. Now you see, the reason why the name Jesus works for many people, has worked over the centuries, is because, you see, there's no doubt in our minds, when you speak the name Jesus, who the person is that you are referring to. It won't work if we think the name Jesus is magical and will just, because we utter it, do what we want to happen. You see, many people have prayed in the name of Jesus and nothing has happened. Amen. And I'm sure many people have prayed in the name of Yeshua and nothing has happened. There's no magic in the name, but there is spiritual significance. It's quite hard to get this distinction. But you see, it is faith in the name. And if you and I have been brought up with the name Jesus and there's no doubt in our mind who the person is we are referring to when we utter that name, we have faith in that name. And can I say, whatever you and I have faith in will work the best for us. Whatever we have faith in, real faith, whatever we trust in and believe in will have the best effect for us. That's the story of David facing Goliath. King Saul wanted to give him all his armor. King David tried it on. It was very good armor. It was the best there was, but it didn't suit him. He didn't have much faith in it. He had more faith in his slingshot and a few pebbles, which actually combined with his faith, released the power of Almighty God and got the job done. My point is this, you see, we're not undermining the name Jesus, and it's precious to so many people. We understand that. And you see, using that name, if you have faith in it, will do the trick. You might recall the incident in the book of Acts of the sons of Sceva. These were people, Jewish people, that were exorcists. They were casting out demons, and they witnessed the Lord Jesus casting out demons, and they heard the name being used, and they ran off, and they said, well, let's just use the name. Well, they tried it on one of their victims, so to speak, and the demons in that victim made this statement, Jesus we know, the Jesus of the disciples we know, but who is it that you are speaking of? And they jumped on them and literally chased them out of town in the underwear. Well, you see, what's that about? These people knew the name, but they didn't know the person that responded to that particular name. And in a sense, they could not release faith using that name. So I hope you understand, Jesus has and can work. But you see, it's our understanding that the name Yeshua is a better name for the reasons that we've been speaking about. I found this personally in the ministry with which I'm involved. About 20 years ago, a friend of mine came to my house and he said, I want to show you something from the Bible. Strangely enough, the night before, God had said to me that something is going to challenge your theology tomorrow. Something is going to challenge your theology tomorrow. Well, this man came along, a good friend, and he presented the case for using the name Yeshua. And it sounded strange to me. It was new. And because God had set me up, as it were, I said, all right, just give me a bit of time and let me think about it. Let me study it. And I did. I did. Went through the Word, studied it deeply as far as I could. And essentially, these are the conclusions that I came up with. I came to realize that the name Yeshua was far superior to the name Jesus, even though it sounded very strange to me. Well, at that time I was running a church, a small church, in addition to the one that I was running at home. And the people in the other church, when I came to them and started to use the name Yeshua, got a bit upset about it. And I don't blame them. I think it was my fault in that I didn't exercise wisdom. But you see, I was convicted that the right name to use was Yeshua, and I wasn't prepared to back down on that now because I'd made a decision based on what I'd seen in the Word. And what I'm trying to say is that conversion to the name Yeshua cost me something, because eventually I had to part company with that particular part of the body of Christ. But you see, my point is this, that the name Yeshua is very powerful. And if you understand that all the great miracles at the beginning of Christ's ministry, during his ministry, were done in his name. The disciples picked up using his name. That name conquered the earth, the then known world. The church grew because of the power released using that name. Now, you see, today we sit with this name, Jesus. And the big question is why? Why is it that academic minds who knew, must have known about the importance of a name, the significance of a name, when it came to all the other names, with possibly the exception of James, when it came to all the other names, were quite happy to just transliterate and ignore the meaning, ignore the consequences, ignore the actual implications, which run completely contrary to the many themes that we've seen and exposed in the Bible. The question is why? Why is it that today we sit with the name Jesus, despite all the learning and all the understanding that we have? Well, the answer is quite simple, really. The answer is found in the Gospel of Mark. Let's just turn to Mark 7. I'm just going to read from verse 11. That's Mark chapter 7, verse 11. But you say, if a man says to his father or mother, whatever profit you might receive from me is korban, that is a gift to God, then you no longer let him do anything for his father or his mother. Now this is the important verse, verse 13. Making the word of God of no effect through your tradition, which you have handed down, and many such things you do. Do you see that? Making the word of God of no effect because of your tradition, which has been handed down. If there's anything that displays this process of handing down, it's the name Jesus. Remember, tradition, the original Greek, the root Greek word is tradere, which literally means from the side of man. What's happened, you see, is this name that we have now has literally passed down generation to generation through transliteration by people using their minds, literally from the side of man. An argument is that that process has made the raw word of God less powerful. And you might say, oh well, traditions are not that bad. But the truth of the matter is, the devil's standard procedure to water down the word of God is to plant in people's minds traditions. Traditions that don't actually line up with the word of God. We had an argument, not really an argument, a disagreement, with a man from the Lutheran Church over this issue of baptism, baptism by full immersion. And the statement he made to us is that we have been doing it this way for the last 400 years. Why must we change now? And I thought to myself, does doing something in a certain way for 400 years make it right? You see, the truth is that if we've done something for 400 years, it makes it very difficult to change. And we found that. I battled with the new name. Initially it was unusual. Eventually it became part and parcel of my thinking, my vocabulary. It became much easier to use, to the extent that today I'm much happier using that name when I must speak about the Lord. But you see, we've discovered that as simple as the arguments we've been making are, and as clear as they are, very often when we confront people with them or present this case to people, there's an almost immediate reaction, almost a gut reaction. We've had people say, no, we don't want to use that name. We don't think it's right. We'd rather use the name Jesus. We think you're wrong, etc., etc. And I ask myself, why is it? Why is it the case with not only this understanding, but many other teachings? You see, it's very hard for us, if we've been set in a certain way, to change. But I believe it's very important to be available to change if we can see that that change is necessary. There are a lot of strange teachings out there that imply that the change of the name from Yeshua to Jesus was planned or in a sense, motivated by a group of people who wanted to pervert the gospel. A conspiracy theory, in a sense. And I'm not here to argue against that, I don't really know. But what we do see is a shift. A shift in something that was extremely powerful at its inception to something which today doesn't really bear any resemblance. And I'm reminded of a certain incident that took place here in Southern Africa. Many of you might remember what was known as the Angolan War, in which case the South African forces were to a large extent pitched against the Cuban mercenaries that Angola imported in the cause of expansion of communism. In that war, South Africa developed what became known as the G5 howitzer. G5 howitzer is a massive barrel basically mounted on a truck, and this weapon could hurl missiles for a range of 30 kilometers and in some cases boosted missiles up to 50 kilometers with pinpoint accuracy. That weapon caused a great deal of devastation to the Cuban army, and when peace talks were conducted, the Cuban officers had some very unpleasant names to call that weapon. My point in saying all of this is that if a weapon is used against you and it's powerful, obviously as an army, it would be wise to use your resources in attempt to neutralize that weapon. The Cubans tried all they could. They sent their planes, they bombed everything. But the South Africans were very clever because what they were using was smokeless gunpowder. And what they would do is they would create smoke miles away from their site. The Cubans would see the smoke, assume it was the G5, and they would just tear big swaths out of the African jungle pointlessly. But they devoted a lot of attention in an attempt to rid themselves of this terrible weapon. Now, my point is this. And please, this is something that one can gather from the whole process as we look at it now. The name Yeshua, which is the name that would have been used during the Lord's ministry and by his disciples after him for a number of centuries, was extremely powerful. The name above all names. You see, a name, when it's associated with authority, carries that authority. The police officer who stands in a road has not got the power to stop an oncoming truck. But because he uses uniform and he raises his hand, and because that uniform associates him with the police force, the government, law and order, that truck is obliged to stop. The same with the name Yeshua. When we use the name of the highest authority, which name has been given power over all principalities and powers, when we use that name unashamedly, with full faith in the person mentioned in the name, with the name boosting our faith in who it is that we stand for, every demon on this earth will have to back down. Will have to back down, you see. Now, if you look at it this way, we are involved in a war. The enemy of our souls, his incentive is to destroy the kingdom of heaven at all costs. The greatest name, the greatest weapon that we have been given against him is the name. Does it not make sense that he would work in the hearts of people involved somehow to get that name watered down? In a sense, to turn the G5 into a G1, you understand? That makes sense to me. That makes a great deal of sense to me. Another little thought that I'd like to end off with is this. When I was negotiating this whole name, and please, whenever you and I go with the truth, one of the hallmarks of the truth is that it separates. It separates. Those who do not receive truth will stay where they are. But I was contemplating all of this, and I could see it in the Word. I could see it logically almost. The Lord reminded me of an incident that happened to me. As a young man, there was a time when I was visiting family in England, and I was on my way back. I remember sitting in Heathrow Airport, looking out over the runway, watching these planes every 10 minutes taking off, going to all corners of the earth. And every now and then, what would ease up to the runway would be what was then known as the Concorde. Now, the Concorde, for anybody who doesn't remember, was the first commercialized supersonic travel. What a beautiful plane. Very sleek and streamlined. It would ease up to the runway, and then at the given moment with a great roar, it would run down the runway, and then the nose cone would go down, and this plane would just rise up into the air, almost like a bird. But then something wonderful would happen. If you look closely, you'd see on the powerful engines, the jet engines at the back, you'd see a ring on all of the exhausts. That's what they call the afterburner. What actually happens is that ring around that exhaust actually ignites the gas and boosts the power of the Concorde. And with that boosted power, that Concorde, as it went over the Atlantic, would break through the sound barrier and then would be able to touch down in New York within 2.5 hours, plus minus. Now, the thought that came to me when I saw this in my mind was that, you see, we've been using the name Jesus for centuries, and it's worked. But I believe we've come to the end of the age. And, you see, what worked in the past might not work in the future. And what God led me to understand, this is a personal revelation, by the way, what he led me to understand was the name Yeshua is like those afterburners. It just gives that extra boost, which is what we as a church need to get the job at hand done. I hope you've been blessed by this teaching. I know that it's been quite involved at times. But as I said, we presented the case, and now it's for you to decide. I'm asking you in the mighty name of Yeshua to be open. Read it up for yourself. Find out. Think about it. Allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you. Don't just discard it out of hand because it seems strange. The name Yeshua will feel strange for us that have used the name Jesus all our lives. But it's been our experience that it becomes part of us and it imparts a power to the extent that the name Jesus somehow sounds a bit weak after a while. And please note that if you and I have a revelation on the name Jesus, use wisdom in using that name in the presence of others. Use wisdom. God says that we must do things wisely. And it's not our place to shove a new name down a person's throat. The other side of the coin is, if we do come to the conclusion that that is the right name, let us be bold to use it in every situation. See the power that that name releases so that the kingdom of heaven might go forward in his wonderful name.